Alrighty, Haksamea. Wow. Here we are. Another year, another Shavuot. Boy, the time goes fast, but this is an exciting one because it's the Shemitah year. And it was last time during Shemitah that Yahweh was, I believe, the beginning of his pouring out on his spirit and the scriptures we're going to read today about the end time. And as things are progressing, that is the most important thing in our life, is that Yahweh is changing our hearts and our minds to become more like Him as we are His children created in His image. Praise Yahweh for that. So the message is called The Outpouring of the Ruach in the End Time. I said this many times, Yahweh works in the circular, not the linear. And there's many dual prophecies in Scripture. And also we know by the holy days, every holy day is a fulfillment of that. So I want to start in Ezekiel 9 just to show you about this. This is about the second Passover that's coming. And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, "Let the overseers of the city draw near, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men were coming from the way of the upper gate, which faces north. And each had his shattering weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in linen," right? This is a cherub. "An inkhorn of a scribe at his loins, and they went in and stood beside the copper altar. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel had gone on from the cherub where it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man, clothed in linen with the inkhorn of a scribe at his loins. And Yahweh said, 'Pass through the midst of the city in the midst of Jerusalem, and imprint a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and mourning over all the abominations that are done in her midst.' And he said to those in my hearing, 'Pass over in the city after him and strike. Do not let your eyes spare, and do not have pity. Slay the aged, the young, the virgin, the even children and women, all to destruction. But every man who has the mark on him, do not come near and begin at my sanctuary.' And began with the aged men who were before the house." So we see here, right, that this is not the original Passover that happened, but this is what we call the second Passover, where this is going to happen again. And Yahweh will take his people again, you know, not out of Egypt, but this time out of commercial Babylon, you know, and prepare them for his kingdom. So the same way, if we go to Joel 2, because Pesach was 7 weeks ago, and we started on the Feast of First Fruit, the count, the 7-week count to Shavuot, and here we are 7 weeks later. So now let's go to Joel 2 and see the fulfillment of Shavuot, what we're talking about today. Joel 2 and verse 23. "Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness," right? That was the first Shavuot that we're going to read about soon. "And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month." So we are living today in what's called the latter rain. "And the floors will be full with grain, and the wine vats will overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years which the swarming locust has eaten, the locust larva and the stripping locust and the cutting locust, my great army which I sent among you." So I think this is physical, but also really spiritual he's talking about. You know, what was lost spiritually is going to be given back and fulfilled in the end time. "And you shall eat fully and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall not be ashamed forever. And you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no other. And my people shall not be ashamed forever. And it shall be afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh," right? The latter rain, the second Shavuot. "And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And also I will pour out my spirit on the slaves and on the slave girls in those days," right? Yahweh calling the weak the meek of the earth. "And I will give signs in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and awesome day of Yahweh." So these are, like we said, signs in the heavens that we know by eclipses, right? And solar eclipses and also lunar eclipses. "For it shall be all who call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. For salvation shall be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh will call. So we know that, right? Salvation is in the name of Yahweh, and salvation is in Mount Zion. That's where the Tabernacle of David is, and that's where the third sanctuary will be built when Yeshua returns. So this is the second Shavuot that's coming, the latter rain, you know, that we talk about here. Let's go to Acts 2 and let's see about the first Shavuot. Acts, the second chapter. I'll read verse 1 through 12. And in the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, they were all with one mind in the same place. So it's kind of interesting, right? That Shavuot is not just to be celebrated, but it's to be fulfilled. And that's really what the message is going to be about today, us fulfilling Shavuot. Not just celebrating it, but fulfilling it. And suddenly a sound came out of the heaven as a groaning spirit along by a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues as a fire appeared to them being distributed, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave ability for them to speak. And Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation of those under the heaven. And when that sound occurred, all the people gathered and were perplexed because they were hearing each man among them who were speaking in their own language, right? So here it is. These people are speaking what they're thinking is in, you know, the language they speak, but yet it's coming out. People are hearing in their own language. And all were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, we can't grasp this. Are not all these those speaking Galileans? And how do we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those living in Mesopotamia, both Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, both Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and regions of Libya over against Cyrene and the temporary residing Romans, both Jews and proselytes," right? Many of these areas where the lost tribes were. "Cretans and Arabians, in our own language we hear them speaking the great wonders of Elohim. And all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, what could this be?" So they hadn't had the first outpouring yet, so they didn't understand it. We understand it now. So, you know, we don't necessarily see that sign of speaking in other languages, although we do see it sometimes. Because today we have brethren all over the world, then they didn't at that point. So that sign isn't such a big sign anymore, but like I said, we still see it. I've seen it in Israel and some other places. I've told the stories about it, even in Kenya where this happened, where we speak in English and the man heard in their dialect. So they're all amazed. What could this be? You know, because it is the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. It's the first Shavuot and the second outpouring during the latter rain, our time, the time we're living in today. And just like at baptism, right? When you're baptized, you don't receive all the Holy Spirit at once. You're not matured like you've been a believer for 30 years. No. And I say this when people are baptized. You know, yes, do you get a seed of the Holy Spirit? Yet you get, yes, you get a little seed living in you, but you're still 99% carnal and 1% spiritual. And how much you yield to that Spirit, how much you surrender to the Ruach HaKodesh in your life, how much you come out of commercial Babylon will depend on how spiritual you will get, depend on how worldly that you will get rid of. So it's the same in the end time, what I realized, because we're living this now since 2015 when it started. But every year, the people of Yahweh now spiritually have gotten stronger. And wow, now we're really at a turning point. Now I believe we're really at a point where, although we have seen miracles over the last 7 years, we have seen healings and different things, demons being cast out. But I really believe that what Yahweh's Spirit being poured out greater, that even greater miracles we're going to be seeing in the days ahead. And now, as we're getting filled with that Spirit, we're getting ready for the job, because it's not, Yahweh is not giving us the outpouring of His Spirit in the end time just for fun, you know, just so that it can be manifested. He's giving us the outpouring of the Spirit for the work we have to do. There's a great work to do, and we can't do it without His Ruach HaKodesh. So that's the key of it, you know. And many elders and brethren throughout the world in the last 7 years have told me the same stories. And I can see it as I travel around the world. I see the brethren maturing and growing in the Ruach HaKodesh of Yahweh. And now, like I said, all of it is coming for the job that we have right ahead of us today. What is that job? Matthew 24 and verse 11. Matthew 24 and verse 11. And many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many. This is, again, the Olivet Prophecy. They said to Yeshua, tell us about the end times and your return. You know, what are the signs? And what does he say? Many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many. You can, depending on your, if you have the end times translation, it can say, and many fake news will be raised and deceive many. Because I believe the false prophets in the end are the newscasters. That's, you know, it's not false prophets like we saw in ancient days, you know, where they're prophesying in the name of some false deity. But these are the false prophets of fake news. And Satan has deceived the whole world. It's a message I'm going to be giving soon when I travel. And you can't believe how much. But it's all through the prince of the power of the airwaves, you know, who is Satan himself, and the fake news that's coming. So many fake news will be raised and will deceive many. And because lawlessness will have been multiplied, the love of many will wax cold. We're seeing that today. We're seeing because the shootings that go on every day, the murders that go on every day, just these things that we're seeing, that people are waxing cold, the love of many. But the one who endures to the end, that one will have eternal life. So we can't give up yet. We haven't got there yet. You don't want to put in 10, 20, 30 years into your faith and then give up right at the end, right? You have to endure till the end. And then verse 14, this is the verse I'm going to focus on. And this good news, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the good news of Yeshua, the good news of Yahweh, the good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And I always say that I believe the making of the Hebraic Roots Bible is a part of this. You know, it's not the only part, but I do believe it's a part of Yahweh, of this good news being published in all nations. We get thousands and thousands, tens of thousands every month of downloads of the Bible. We've printed tens of thousands of Bibles throughout the last 15 years or so. And praise Yahweh, you know, that almost every day, every few days, we're getting an order, you know, for a Bible from somewhere in the world that's coming out. So this good news is being published in all the earth for a testimony. So the good news will be preached by the remnant during these times. The good news will be preached by the remnant during these times. And I just want to say, I've said this before, but because people wonder, you know, now as we're starting to see this, right, we had a little taste of it during COVID, of lockdowns and persecution, and what happens if you don't take the mark of the beast and aspire toward the beast power, you know. And people may wonder, how on earth, how are we going to preach this, you know, with what's happening when Satan is the G-O-D of this society, you know, and we are outcasts. We're the outcasts of Israel in his society. But, you know, we can take solace that during the worst times of the persecutions, during the persecution of the true believers in the medieval ages, you know, let's say from the year 1000 to about 1500, somewhere around there, during that time in the wilderness, more people came to faith than any time in history. So really think about this. The church was really strong, the congregation, right, in the first century when Yeshua first ascends up to heaven, and that first Shavuot, right? There's only 120 people in that room, but in that next decade or two, it goes out to thousands and thousands of people, not only in the land of Israel, but the apostles are going throughout the world. The original 11 apostles and Matthias are going to the areas where the sons of Israel are, the Ephraimites, and the apostle Paul is going to a lot of the areas where Gentiles are, also some of the Ephraimites, but mostly to Gentile areas, and it's growing. It's growing in the hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to faith in that time, right? But even then, not as many people came to faith as the millions of people that came to faith in the medieval times. So here it was, when our brethren were outside of society, when they did leave society because of how bad it was, and they didn't want to compromise on the truth of Yahweh, and they went where? They went to the wilderness. They went to the mountains. They were living in mountains and caves in different places. But they weren't doing it just to hide under a rock somewhere. They did it to be separated from society so that they can be kadosh to Yahweh, to be able to fulfill their jobs. And it's the same reason why now Yahweh is calling us out of society. Because if we are going to fulfill this end time commission, then now the greatest part of our commission is about to come, because we've almost are there and prepared to the point of the outpouring of that spirit where we can maturely, and patiently and with discipline use Yahweh's spirit in the proper way. Yahweh's getting ready for that great end time harvest that's going to come. So like I said, millions of people, not tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands, but millions of people came to faith at that time when the brethren were completely outside of society. Daniel 11 in verse 32 and 35, that talks about the time that we're living in now. What are we going to do in this time? Daniel 11, 32. And he will defile by, talking about the anti-Messiah, he will defile by flatteries those who do evil against the covenant. But the people who know their Elohim will be strong and will work, right? We're not going to be hiding under a rock, you know, but we're going to be strong and we're going to work. Verse 35, and many of those who understand shall stumble to refine and to purge them, the baptism of fire, and to make white to the time of the end, right? Making our garments, purifying them, our linen garments with no spot or wrinkle to be white. For it is yet for the appointed time. And the appointed time is just about here, as we're going to see. So this is a really, really exciting Shavuot, because not only because it's the Shemitah, but because we finished a whole seven-year cycle, and now we are ready to begin the next phase of the work of Yahweh, you know? And I hope you're ready for it. I know I am, and I'm excited about it. But we need to be ready and focused and prepared, because it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of the baptism of fire. The great martyrism is coming. A lot of the things we believe are going to be outlawed. There's going to be brethren being persecuted, put in prison, and even martyred. But look at the work that's going to be done. The fruit that's going to come out of this is going to be powerful and is going to be awesome. Revelation 11, because there's another thing that's coming shortly. And what is that? The coming of the two witnesses, right? And I've got messages on this. If you've never heard it before, please look online and see the messages I've done on the two witnesses. I do believe they are the two cherubs, Gabriel and Mikhail. You'll see that when you look at the message, that they couldn't be human beings. But these two cherubs are going to come in human form, as cherubs have many times, like I just seen just a few weeks ago. You know, somebody who looked like a man, but I believe that this man was a messenger sent from Yahweh. So that's the way they come most of the time. There are times, and I have seen actually messengers, beings that were in their glorified form. I've seen that also. So they can be in any form that Yahweh needs them to be in. But many times in scripture and just life stories that people have told, many messengers of Yahweh do appear as humans. So Revelation 11, and a reed like a staff was given to me, and the cherub stood, saying, rise and anoint the sanctuary of Yahweh and the altar and those worshiping in it, and leave out the court outside of the sanctuary, and do not anoint it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will trample the holy city 42 months, right? This is when Satan is allowed to overtake Jerusalem, and that's where he's going to put his headquarters. And the people of Yahweh are not to be there at that time. They're to flee to where? To the wilderness. And I will give to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Elohim of all the earth, right? They're the two olive trees. Why? Because in the sanctuary of Yahweh, there was two cherubs, one on the right and one on the left. And what were they made out of? Olive wood. Olive wood, you know, olive trees. And in that message on the two witnesses, we see that Yeshua has always had two messengers with him, one on his right and one on his left. It's something we see all throughout scripture, and Yahweh's pattern doesn't change, right? So there are also the two candlesticks, as we see, right? Because what are the candlesticks? The candlesticks in the end, the seven congregations are the seven candlesticks. And we see that there's a cherub that is given over each congregation to watch over them. And if anyone desires to harm them, fire comes out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone desires to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. So there are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before Elohim of all the earth. There's no man who stands before the Elohim of all the earth. They must be cherubs. Okay? And like I said, if you haven't heard the message, listen to it. It's very convincing. These have the authority to shut up the heaven, that no rain may be in the days of their prophecy. And they have authority over the waters to turn them to blood, like Moses did, and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. So with Moses, we have the 10 plagues of Egypt. Here, we don't know. Whether it be 2 plagues, 3 plagues, whether it be 30 plagues, we have no idea. So we will see as these things happen. But I believe we're getting ready for this time period now where the two witnesses will show. And that will surely tell us a big indication of where we are in end time prophecy when this happens. So the two witnesses coming to this time. But here's something even more exciting. Haggai 1 and verse 12. Prophet Haggai, verse 1 of chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12 through 15. Because let's look at what happens. Because Zerubbabel and Joshua the priest, these two are representatives of the two witnesses, as we're going to see. In Scripture, they're representative of the two witnesses of the end time. And let's look at what's happening here in Haggai 1 and verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, or Yehoshua, the son of Jehoshadech, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people. So it's not just these two servants, right? But all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of Yahweh their Elohim and the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh their Elohim had sent them. And people feared before Yahweh. And Haggai, the messenger of Yahweh, spoke the message of Yahweh to the people, saying, I am with you, says Yahweh. And Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, right? The spirit of these two witnesses is going to be stirred up. They're going to be doing miracles and power. So Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Yehoshua, the son of Jehoshadech, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. So at this time, when the two witnesses come and Yahweh is stirring up their spirit for the work they're doing, he's also stirring up the spirit of the remnant of the people. So that spirit has got to already be in us to be stirred up, right? It's like a soup, right? And if you have all the liquid at the top or the oil at the top and you have all the vegetables at the bottom and you stir it up so it's all together, you have to have it in there to stir it. And that's why Yahweh is pouring out his spirit now on us so that we can mature, so that we can have discipline, so we could learn how to use it. Remember when the apostle Yochanan, John, and his brother Jacob came to Yeshua, and what did Yeshua call them? The sons of thunder. Why? Because somebody, you know, was not following them, right? And doing what they, and what did they say? Hey, should we call down fire from heaven on this person? And Yeshua's like, wow, you know, that is not the spirit of Yahweh. You know, I think maybe they were even on their way, right? They're going into the area of the Samaritans or something, whatever they're doing. But they're doing something that's not on the right protocol of the normal Pharisees in that day. And then these two guys are saying, let's just call down fire and whack them. Can you imagine if the two witnesses had a spirit like that? None of us would survive. You know, they would destroy the earth probably in a few days. So Yahweh needs us, because we are going to be also doing a work at the same time the two witnesses are doing a work. He needs us to be disciplined. So he's got to give us his spirit now, and he's given it to us year by year in building that up. And we are. We're growing in it and maturing in it, and we're becoming like him. And we're almost at that point now where we can use it. It's the same when you go to school. If you were going to school to be a doctor, right? Your first year in med school, they just don't stick a knife in your hand and say, oh yeah, go ahead, cut that guy's heart out, you know, see how it turns out. No, of course not. First they're being taught, and then they work on mannequins or whatever, and then they get, you know, whatever. You got to work your way up before you're sticking a knife in somebody, you know, and operating on them. So it's the same way with us, that we have to mature. We can't be the era of the thunder, you know, the congregation of the sons of thunder. No. We have to be the sons of discipline. We have to be the sons of maturity. We have to be, you know, the sons of purity, right? And this is where it comes down to. So he stirred up in the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of Yahweh of hosts, right? They came and worked on the house of Yahweh in the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. So this is the 24th day of the sixth month is 6 days before what? Before Yom Teruah. What happens on Yom Teruah? Yeshua returns on Yom Teruah. So this is what happens. They came and they're working on the house of Yahweh, right? Zechariah 4 and verse 9. Zechariah 4 and verse 9. Verse 8 and 9. And the word of Yahweh was to me saying, so this is again the word of Yahweh coming. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall finish it. And you know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. So the two witnesses, they are going to help the remnant of Yahweh's people in this time. They will finish the work of the house of the sanctuary of Yahweh. And what is that sanctuary? In the Brit Hadashah, in the times we're living in now, let's go to John 2 and verse 13. John 2 and verse 13. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem, right? That's where he went in those days. And he found those selling oxen and sheep and doves in the sanctuary, and the money changer sitting. And making a whip out of ropes, he threw all out of the sanctuary, both the sheep and the oxen, the money changers pouring out the money and overturning the tables. And the one selling the doves, he said, take these things from here. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise, right? And as we're going to see, what is the house of Yahweh now? It's his people. The body of Messiah is the house of Yahweh. And he's saying, don't make his people, don't make his congregation a house of merchandise. And what happens for most of the people out there? They do the same thing. And like I said, I just came back from Mount Sinai, one of the greatest trips in my life. I so much look forward to going back there in November, Yahweh willing. And there have been a few others. Not many people have been there, but there have been some others that have gone there, you know. And even up to the last 20 years, a few people that were blessed to go there before Saudi Arabia even opened up that people can go. A few people even got arrested. But of the few people that have went there, some of them, instead of coming back with all this information, taking video and photos and giving them out, because this is part of the end time message, right? This is the testimony of what Yahweh is doing, the testimony of the carvings of the cows that are still there, the altar that Moses made that is still there. What did they do? They're making videos and they're selling them for $30, $40, $50 a video. And it's like, man, they're making merchandise out of the house of Yahweh. And that's what Yeshua said. Get rid of these people. And we're living in a time now where the two witnesses certainly aren't going to be coming and selling you anything. They're not going to be coming and selling merchandise and telling you, you know, hey, you know, they're going to do this. They just did this miracle. They turned water into blood, you know, and, you know, one witness filmed the other witness and they're selling it to you for $99.99, you know, or something like that. It's just not going to happen. But they're coming to cleanse the sanctuary of Yahweh. They're coming to cleanse these people out of there. So there should be no one at this point making a market of the people of Yahweh. And they are. Stay away from them. You don't need it. You don't need to do it. Don't promote these people. Don't buy the videos. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. And even with meetings, you know, I still have people write me, you know, that are not part of our congregation. Maybe they got the Hebraic Roots Bible and I'm going somewhere like now where I'm going to U.S. to speak. And they're nice people, but they'll write and they'll ask, you know, well, how much does it cost? You know, what is the ticket to cost to get into the meeting? You know, it's like, wow, this isn't a performance, you know. I'm not going up there and I'm not going to sing and dance and play a guitar, you know. I'm going to preach the word of Yahweh. Cost. You know, freely you receive, freely you give. And that's part of the end time message that's here. We're not marketing Yahweh's people. We're not marketing Yahweh's word. And anybody that is, you got to cut them off. They might not understand it. You know, maybe you want to warn them, but don't buy it. Don't buy the wares of them. And his disciples remembered that it is written, the zeal of your house has consumed me. Then the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Right? Well, look at all the signs Yeshua is doing. And they're saying, what sign does he do? Then Yeshua said to them, tear down the sanctuary and in 3 days I will raise it up. Right? And that's why you don't need a third temple to be built now. Because Yahweh says, if they build a third temple, which there's a good chance they might, Yahweh's not going to be there. It's going to be for the anti-Messiah. And he says, if they killed an animal, it's like breaking sacrificing a pig on the altar. You know, so it's it's not something that Yahweh is going to be in. And yet if they do build a third temple right now, people will flock to it because they're looking for the lying signs and wonders in the end time. They're not looking for the truth. But the sanctuary of Yahweh now is his people. You know, that's where Yahweh's sanctuary is. And that's what Yeshua said, tear down that sanctuary and in 3 days raise up. He's talking about his resurrection. That once he was resurrected, now he is the sanctuary. He is the head and we are the body. Then the Jews said, this sanctuary was 46 years in being built. Do you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke about the sanctuary of his body. He's talking about the sanctuary of his body, right? So the sanctuary is the body of Messiah. We must get rid of the money changers, those selling and marketing Yahweh's word. You know, it's got to stop. And just refrain from it. Just give a witness of it and refrain from it. Zechariah 4 and verse 10. Back to the two witnesses. Zechariah 4 and verse 10. He says, for who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet stone in the hands of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of Yahweh. They roam around to and fro throughout all the earth. You know, the seven spirits of Yahweh and also the seven congregations, right? And I answered and said, what are these two olive trees on the right of the menorah and the left? And I answered a second time and said to him, what are the two clusters of olive trees beside the two golden pipes, emptying the golden oil from themselves? Right, what is the golden oil? The oil is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit being poured out. And he spoke to me, saying, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my master. And he said, these are the two sons of fresh oil who stand by the master of the whole earth. Same thing, right? These stand, right? One on the right, one on the left. There's two cherubs that were in the sanctuary, right? That were, I think it was 15 feet high. One on the right, one on the left. And that's what they're representing. And that's why they're not human beings, the two witnesses. But they are the two cherubs, which I believe are Gabriel and Mikhail. The fresh oil represents the remnant, the end, receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But like he says, it will not be a large number. Who has despised a day of small things? It's not a mega church. It's not a place with hundreds of thousands and millions of people. It's not a million-dollar corporation like you see today with a lot of these, you know, churches throughout Christianity. It's nothing like that. It's a very small remnant, right? But it's a remnant that's filled with His Spirit, and they're doing powerful, powerful miracles, the same as our brethren did in the wilderness. They did miracles in the wilderness, and they did such a powerful work of faith in the wilderness, and now we are in that second phase here. We are in the second Shavuot. We're living it now. And if we allow Yahweh to change us and work with us, we will be doing the same things. Haggai 2, 1 through 4. Haggai chapter 2, 1 through 4. And then the glory goes to Yahweh. It's not going to go to men. It's not going to go to buildings. It's not going to go because of money. But it's going to go because of the Spirit of Yahweh. That's what's going to get the glory, Yahweh. So in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, so this is the last day of Sukkot, right? Before it was the 24th day of the sixth month. So this is like 28 days after that, exactly 4 weeks later. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of Yahweh was by Haggai the prophet saying, now speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. So speak to them, right? Who is left among you who saw this house in her former glory? And how do you see it now? When compared to it, is it not as nothing in your eyes? So, right? So the ones who saw Solomon's temple and the way Solomon built it and the glory of that sanctuary and how beautiful it was, and then they saw Zerubbabel's sanctuary and they're like, wow, some of them even cried because it was small. But like he says, who has despised the day of small things? You know, who has despised the day of small things? And it's not about grandiosing, right? With, like I said, big buildings and big things. That's all part of commercial Babylon. Let the world take care of that. That's Satan's religious entities. Yahweh in the end time is working through his Spirit. He's working through a small remnant. And who has despised the day of small things? Because everything with Yahweh starts small, right? It starts with the grain of a mustard seed. And then it goes into the biggest tree in all the earth, and that's the kingdom of Yahweh. It starts very small. And then look what he says. Who is left Among you who saw this house in a form of glory, and how do you see it now? When compared to it, is it as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says Yahweh, and be strong, O Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong and work. And be strong and work. All people of the land, says Yahweh, for I am... All people of the land, saith Yahweh, for I am with you, declares Yahweh of hosts. Be strong and work, all the people of the land. So this is what he's saying, the remnant. The remnant, Yahweh is saying, he is with you, for I am with you, declares Yahweh. So all we have to do, like I said, is keep our lives kadosh. We need to be getting every spot and wrinkle out of our garments. We need to be building discipline in our life. We need to be allowing that spirit to grow in us. We need to be maturing in it, right? Getting rid of any kind of resentment, any kind of root of bitterness, anything that's here. We need to be just growing in the nine fruits of Yahweh's spirit, because it's growing at a rate that is just unseen. So what you need to do is you need to be manifesting these nine fruits in your life that way, exponentially. Then Haggai verse 9, same chapter, chapter 2 and verse 9 says, the glory of this later house will be greater than that of the former, says Yahweh of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. So the glory of the later house will be greater than the glory of the former. And think about it. You know, in the end time, there's 144,000. Those are people alive today, right? Those are not people that are going to be resurrected. But those are people, because those are the ones that are protected, you know, which the Bible tells us at Selah, 144,000. So they're not the apostles. They're not part of the people that were in the wilderness and the medieval times. These are end time people. And those people, those 144,000 are with Yeshua forever. They are like the foundation with the apostles, of course, of the kingdom of Yahweh forever, you know? And that's why he says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. But that's why, because of the baptism of fire, what we're going through now, those people will have a greater glory than anybody ever. You know, the last will be first and the first will be last. But it's not just going to happen. It doesn't just happen by you living your life to commercial Babylon and living in the system and being part of the system and working in the system and everything else, and then just think it's going to happen. No, that's the Laodicean. That's the one that thinks he's rich and increased with good and need of nothing and doesn't know he's poor, he's blind and miserable and naked. These are the people that come out of that come out of commercial Babylon and really go to the wilderness. It's not an analogy, it's not a joke, it's not just a saying you do, you know, for a couple minutes on Sabbath, but it's really leaving your life in commercial Babylon, going to a real wilderness somewhere and coming out of the system. And those are the people who will be part of that group. And this is the remnant that we're talking about here. And this is who the two witnesses are going to be with here in the end time. So although they're smaller, the latter house is more glorious. And they're dedicated to Yahweh and everything. You know, I'm not going to go there, but Revelation 14, you know, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They follow Yeshua wherever he goes, right? This is awesome. Zechariah 10, back to Zechariah 10. And verse 6 through 9. And who are these people? This is the redeeming of the house of Israel. These are the Ephraimites. And I will make stronger the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. So Yahweh's not done with our brother Judah yet. They're going to go through, wow, a really, really horrible time over there. The nation's going to lose their sovereignty. The beast power is going to take over. Many people are going to die. We know it. A third will die by pestilence, a third in the fire, and then only a remnant of the last third will make it, right? And he'll save the house of Joseph, because Joseph also, where is the primarily Ephraimites living in first world countries today? U.S., Great Britain, Australia, you know, and all the lot of countries in Europe and these different places. But they're gonna go, and they're going to lose this next war that's coming, and they are going to be humbled, but Yahweh will save them. For I will have pity on them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I, Yahweh, the Elohim, and I will answer them. And Ephraim shall be like a mighty one, and their heart will be glad as wine. And their sons shall see and be glad, their heart will rejoice in Yahweh. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. and they shall be many as they were many. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they will live with their sons and return. This is the regathering, right, that's happening in Ezekiel 37. So we are the remnant of that now. I've been saying this for the last 25 years in our ministry out of Israel, that the majority of the regathering happens when Yeshua returns, but there's a remnant of that now. There's a remnant of that that starts now, and praise Yahweh, we've been part of that and been able to see that. So the latter rain leads to the calling back of Ephraim. We got to get ready to go home back to the promised land, because the wilderness is just the beginning of the journey. And even though there were 42 wilderness stops by the sons of Israel, the bottom line is it meant nothing except for the two adults, Joshua and Caleb, that got to the promised land. If you didn't get to the promised land, the wilderness journey really was, you know, not much help at all. So this is where we want the same thing. You know, the wilderness is just the beginning of our journey. The end result, the last step, is Mount Zion, right? Tabernacle of David, where Yeshua will be. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Given many messages only on this. Today I just want to touch on it. Ezekiel 36. Because this is what Yahweh is doing in the end time. He is calling back the tribes of Israel. They're regathering. And we are in the embryo of that. This is the very beginning of it. Ezekiel 36, 8 through 12. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall put out your branches and your fruit. You shall bear for my people Israel, for they are drawing near to me. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it. And the cities will be inhabited, and the wastes will be built. And I will multiply men on you and beasts, and they will increase and be fruitful. And I will make you dwell as you formerly were. And I will do better than at your beginnings. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. Yea, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. And they shall possess you, and you will be an inheritance to them, and will not any more increase their bereavement. Verse 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, there where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but only for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations, there where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. So, right? So we know that Ephraim hasn't been any better than Judah in their diaspora. And they've also went after idols. All of us came from somewhere. We came out of false pagan Christianity, most of us, right? But this is what we know, that Yahweh is calling, but he's doing it for his namesake. And that's why the name of Yahweh, the restoration of the name, it's the foundation of, you know, the end time work that Yahweh's doing in the redemption of the tribes. And I will sanctify, verse 23, my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. And I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the lands and bring you into your land, the land of Israel. Then I will sprinkle pure waters on you, and you shall be purified. I will cleanse you from all your defilement and from your idols, right? The waters of baptism. And I will also give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, right? This is the new covenant, right? Where Yahweh says, taking the heart, the stony heart away, and putting in them a heart that will love him. And I will put my spirit within you, right? Here we are, Shavuot, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you will be a people to me, and I will be Elohim to you. Wow. So this is the latter rain. This is the latter rain and calling back Ephraim and Judah during the end times. Let's go to back to Zechariah 10 in just one verse, verse 1. He says, ask rain from Yahweh in the time of the latter rain. Yahweh will make thunderbolts, and he gives them showers of rain, grass to each man in the field. Ask for rain. So we have to ask for it. You should be asking Yahweh, I pray up until now, Shavuot, that you've been praying every day for Yahweh to pour his spirit out on you. And not just you, but on his people and on the work that he's doing here in the end time. So he says, ask. Asking, you will receive. Ask for the latter rain. Pray for Yahweh's Ruach to come upon you. Luke 11 and verse 9. Because, you know, I don't think that it's the problem that people are not praying, although some people aren't praying. But I think they're praying for the wrong things a lot of times. So Luke 11 and verse 9. Luke 11 and verse 9 says, and I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone asking receives, and the one seeking finds, and to the one knocking it will be opened. And who among you, if he is a father, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead of a fish? And if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? And if you who are evil, you know to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father from heaven will give the Ruach HaKodesh to those who ask him, right? So if you're a parent, and I'm a parent, and I know I only want to give the best things to my daughter, and I'm sure you want to give the best things to your children, right? And we're evil, like he says. We're just human evil people. So if us being human evil selfish people want to give the best to our children, how much more does Yahweh really want to give the best to us? And that's why Yahweh doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And the baptism of fire is part of that. It's a purifying that we need to be able to get to this point now, because there's a great work ahead. And depending on how much we've been purified is how much fruit we're going to bear in these times. And we don't know how long this time is. We don't know if it's going to be, I'm guessing it's at least a year. It may be up to a few years, 3 years, 5 years, maybe 7 years. I don't know. But it's a short time period, this end time latter rain and the work that we're going to be doing. And then the beast power is going to take over. We know that's for exactly 42 months, which our work will overlap that. But then the return of Yeshua is going to come, the day of Yahweh, his wrath on the earth, and then his return, and then the real work starts. So we have a great work to do here before that, but then the real work starts when Yeshua returns. So we need to be focusing on asking for spiritual things, not physical things. And Yahweh will give it to us. We need to ask him. And don't say, ask him what we need. Don't necessarily tell him what you want. Give me more of this, give me more of that. Say, Father, give me what you think I need. Give me what you think I need more of from your spirit, right? In Matthew 6 and verse 21, where your heart is, there your treasure lies also. So in the things, just think about your prayer life. And if you have no prayer life, then you better really think of where your heart is, because you're doing something for 24 hours a day, you know, besides sleeping. And you should be praying every day. That's where your relationship with Yahweh is gonna be built. And studying every day, studying his word, that should be filling you every single day. But where your heart is, you know, there your treasure is. So that says a mountain. That says itself. So you need to be praying and building that relationship with Yahweh if you want to be part of the end time work. And here we are. You know, 6,000 years that Yahweh has since he's created Adam on this earth. And, you know, there's a time where people live for hundreds of years and 600, 700, 800 years. And then there's a time where people live, you know, 100 to 150, 170 years, like in Abraham's time. But for the most time, most people that have lived in this world have only lived, you know, anywhere from, let's say, 50 to 100 years, which isn't a lot. It goes by very quick. And here it is, out of the 50, 60 billion people that have been born since Adam until today, you're one of the ones that are living in this time. I mean, and like it says, kings and prophets and these people, the apostles, they would have loved to live in this time. The very time that Yeshua's feet are going to step on the Mount of Olives, but they weren't. They weren't accounted. Some of them were accounted to see Yeshua face to face. I wish I could have seen him face to face, but who knows? Maybe if I did, I wouldn't have accepted him. Who knows? But all I know is I'm alive now. I'm alive now in this time, and I need to make sure that I'm not taking that for granted. I need to make sure that Yahweh's spirit and Yahweh's work and what he's doing in this time is the most important thing in my life. And if not, what on earth am I doing? I mean, praise Yahweh that we're living in the time where commercial Babylon is everywhere in the earth. Praise Yahweh that there's nothing else to live for. Because if you lived in 1880 in Little House on the Prairie, maybe it would be harder. Because maybe then the, you know, the American dream of, you know, a land and a house and a picket fence and 2.3 children would have been possible, you know, and there would have been nothing wrong with it, right? You work hard and you have your land. But now there is no dream, American or any otherwise, you know. America is one of the worst countries in the world today. That's why Yahweh's coming to destroy Babylon. But the problem is it's gone everywhere. The virus has gone worldwide. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the virus of commercial Babylon. So there's nowhere to hide to. And I can tell you through the years, the last 25 years or more that I've taught about America being end time Babylon, and the biggest question has always come up in the U.S. is, well, where do you go? You know, it's everywhere. Where do you go? It's not about going someplace better. It's about getting away from America because they're the epicenter, right? They're ground zero of commercial Babylon. So it's not about going. It's all over the earth now. But it's about being obedient to Yahweh and getting away from that. And it's not just for people that live in Babylon, for Americans. It's everywhere in the earth now. So every single person needs to come out of commercial Babylon. Everybody does. So it's not about leaving a land, you know, unless you live in Babylon, which you do have to leave that land. It's about leaving a system. And every one of us is called to that now. If we're going to be part of this end time work, you can't have your allegiance. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. And your allegiance can't be in Satan's society of commercial Babylon and the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, because the divided man, you know, like it says, you can't have two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other, or love the one and despise the other. You know, and you can't serve Yahweh, you know, and wealth and commercial Babylon. You can't do both. Amos 4 and verse 7 through 8. Amos 4 and verse 7 through 8. He says, "And I have also withheld the rain from you when it was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused rain to fall in one city and caused it not to fall in another city. One piece was rained on, and the piece where it did not rain was dried up. So two or three cities staggered to one city in order to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says Yahweh." So I love that scripture because it shows you can't get the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. You can't get the latter rain on the back of somebody else, right? You can't think, oh, you know what? I'll just join this community and I'll be part of it. No, you got to change. That's what's going to do it. You got to work hard day in and day out. And it's like anything else. I played sports from the time I was about 4 or 5 years old, you know, and I learned through sports. I learned through playing football and basketball and baseball, particularly football, that the only way that it's going to work is if you're out there every single day. You have to exercise every day. You have to practice every day. You have to do this. It's got to be a part of your life. It's got to be your life. And it's the same thing here. You are not going to change unless it is your life, your vocation. And everything in your life needs to be dedicated toward Yahweh for the latter rain. You know? So, like it says, it rained on one city but not on another. And we see it. We see it today. It's raining on some communities, but it's not raining on other communities. And moving isn't going to change it. Changing you is going to change it. Because Yahweh will pour his Spirit on whoever is surrendering to him, is building in humility, you know, and is surrendering to his Spirit. Those are the ones who are going to get it. So, you know, you can't get it by just simply being somewhere. You have to be part of it. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is working and faith is being part of it. You can't fake it, you know, or you can't receive it from another. You must come out of the system of Satan to be sanctified to receive the latter rain. That's the way it's going to come. Let's go back to Acts 2 now. Because, you know, and I learned this through COVID, you know, I always say at the Bible school, we've been having this Bible school now for close to 20 years, and every year I've learned a very profound lesson in my life. It may have seemed simple, was profound, and one year was some people get it and some people don't. And the people that don't get it, you know, that want to antagonize you, these are the ones we tend to want to put the more time with, and a lot of time it's only our own pride. But we want to spend the most time with the people that are getting it. And the people that are surrendering, you know. But some people get it and some people don't. And the ones who don't get it, it's time to let them go. They're not going to get it. The ones who are not surrendering to Yahweh, the ones who, you know, are not realizing who COVID didn't wake them up, but that they're still thinking that the world is just going on and COVID just happened to happen, you know, that there was no sign from Yahweh there to us. And the mark of the beast is not coming, you know. It's just, these are the people that are never going to get it. Because, I mean, out of 100, we're at about 95. And if you can't see it now with all the signs, and you can't see now with, you know, the merchants, the great merchants of Babylon that deceived the people through pharmakia, through medicine, you know, through the vaccines and all this other stuff, you're never going to see it. Because the Bible has come alive so much in the last 3 or 4 years, it's amazing. It's scary because of some of the things coming alive. Is Satan's system coming? But if you can't see it now, then it's time to just move on. Because, like I said, it'll rain on one city. It won't rain on another city. Acts 2 and verse 12. We read the first 11 verses here, right? The fulfilling of the day of Shavuot. And they're all in one mind and one place. That's what we need to be. They're Ikad, right? The rock is coming. It's one rock and it's giving us the same mind. And then in verse 12, and all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, what can this be? So can you imagine if you're there and you're part of this and you're actually seeing a manifestation of the Holy Spirit come? You're seeing a fire on people and you're amazed and you're just falling to your knees automatically because you can't help but fall to your knees and your hands are in the air and you're praising Yahweh for that? But not everybody, because look, right? It rained on one city, it didn't rain on another. But look at verse 13. But ridiculing others said, they are full of sweet wine. So can you imagine if you're there doing this? The Holy Spirit, there's thunder and lightning and the Holy Spirit's coming and you're falling on your knees and you're praising Yahweh and you're seeing the manifestation and people are speaking in different languages and the Holy Spirit is just filling people up. And then the guy next to you is there.
Yeah, they must be drunk. Look at that, they must be drunk.
Can you imagine that? And right there, what does that say? That says run as far away from that person as you can be. Because if Yahweh's Spirit is being manifest, and somebody is so prideful, and they are so lacking in that spirit, and they are so filled with commercial Babylon, and so filled with himself, nothing is going to happen except that person is going to destroy. I say this, destructive, negative people will destroy themselves and anybody in their path. And that's why destructive, negative people, you just got to put out of your life. But this is as this is happening. This isn't after hearing a sermon or somebody doubting a miracle that you write to brethren. This is people seeing it with their own eyes and ridiculing, saying they're full of sweet wine. I mean, like I said, this is where the dividing line has come. I said that. This is the parable of the Lazarus and the rich man. And that gulf now is wide enough that you better make sure you're on the right side of that gulf. Because we're to a point where you're not going to be able to jump over side to side anymore. And too many brethren have had 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the congregation. And this Shemitah is the dividing point. And Yahweh, out of his love and his mercy, is giving people one last chance. And you better take it, because there won't be another. Because once the judgment comes, we see it from Scripture. That's it. And the ones that are on, the Lazarus and the rich man, what did he say? The gulf is too wide. You know? It's too wide. And what did he say? Well, at least send to them, you know, a messenger, you know, and to tell them, you know, this. And what does he say? Hey, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't even believe if someone was rose from the dead. And unfortunately, there's brethren that don't believe Moses and the prophets. And they actually don't even believe Yeshua. Because if they really believe Yeshua was risen from the dead and really alive today at the right hand of the Father, they wouldn't live the lives they're living. They wouldn't be part of Satan's society instead of the kingdom of Yahweh. So this is where we're at right now, right? But standing up with the 11, Peter lifted his voice and spoke and said, men, Jews, and all those living in Jerusalem, let this be known and listen to my words. For these are not drunk as you imagine. It's only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken up by the prophet Joel. And in the last days, Yahweh says, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And I will pour my spirit on my servants and my handmaids in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heavens above, and miraculous signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming and great and glorious day of Yahweh, and it will be that everyone who shall call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. And I told you about this a few months back, that what I saw, I woke up one night, and it wasn't a dream, it wasn't a vision, I actually saw it. It was out my window. And that moon was so big, I never saw a moon so big and so low that I actually thought it had to be a light. That's why I kept looking, is it a street light? Is it somebody's light in the backyard, you know, whatever. And it wasn't. It was the moon, and it was blood as anything. And the thing was, it wasn't the time of the full moon. It was a miracle that Yahweh did. And I think of this every time I read the moon will be turned to blood. And I've had things before, and I've written to you people about it. I've had, to the brethren, I've had visions, and I've seen things. But sometimes when you're seeing a vision, it's like it's dark, and you're seeing it, and it happens quick, and Yahweh's putting in your mind what it is, and then it disappears. This wasn't like that. Not in the least. This was where for a half an hour, I was sitting there staring at it, making sure what I was seeing. And looking and keep looking and looking and looking and thinking. And it was the moon. And it wasn't the time of full moon. And it wasn't a eclipse that happened or whatever. But it was as red as blood and as big as you can ever imagine. That was outside my window. That was as low as you can imagine. And after about a half an hour, I was just like exhausted. And I just turned over and went to bed. But this is what Yahweh does. Yahweh will show signs through his servants in the end time. He will show signs to his servants, just like recently just going to Mount Sinai, another sign, a big sign that Yahweh is showing because of what they're planning to destroy that. And after they destroy it and take those antiquities away, they'll say it never happened. And they'll say Mount Sinai never happened. So each person that's blessed to go there, it's not to take video and sell it to people for $50. It's to share that video with every single person on this planet to show them what Yahweh did and what he's doing in these end times. This is what it's all about. This is what the end times. And it's happening now. Yahweh's rock is growing in his remnant and his servants. The good news is being preached. And we need to be asking for it, the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit in our life. We need to be focused on doing the end time work of Yahweh, what we're called for. Because if you're not going to do the end time work of Yahweh, why would you ask for his Spirit? Why would you want more fruits of the Spirit? Why would you want more gifts of the Spirit if you're not going to use it for his glory? You know, why would you want to speak in five different languages unless you're going to go to those countries and you're going to help them in bringing the good news? It's not just for a person to have the gift. It's for a person to use that gift. It's for that gift to be manifested to bear fruit for the kingdom of Yahweh. And I've said this many times. I'm not saying anything new. I've said this many times that in the end time, that is our vocation, is to bear for the work of Yahweh. John 5:17 says, but Yeshua answered him, said, my Father works until now and I work. And now we have to work. Like it says in Daniel 11, the people of Yahweh will be doing exploits. And we need to be ready. Because like I said, if you're not ready, it's just like I said, someone that's going to be a doctor, you have to go to school and you have to go to undergrad school and then graduate school and then doctorate school and all the other things. And you go to school for about 10, 13 years before you can actually practice. You could practice what you learned. And when the two witnesses show, there's going to be no time for learning at that point. The time is now. Now is the time, right? That's why, what did John the Baptist do? John the Baptist prepared the way so that when Yeshua came, those people were ready. If John didn't prepare the way, when Yeshua came, they wouldn't have been ready. But John's mission when Yeshua came was finished. John didn't keep preaching after Yeshua came. John went to prison and was beheaded. And that's the point. It's not the time when the two witnesses come to start preparing. Now is the time to prepare the way. Now is the time to make those paths straight. Now is the time to get ready, you know. Because when the two witnesses come, we have a work we have to do, and that work is starting now. We have to be bearing fruit, and that fruit will bring more faith. Let's go to Jacob chapter 2. Jacob chapter 2. Verse 14 says, my brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith but does not have deeds? Is the faith able to restore him to life? But if a brother or sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and any one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, right? I'll pray for you. You ever hear that? I'll pray for you. But does not give them the things the body needs, what is the gain? So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds. And I will show you my faith by my deeds, right? Faith without works is dead. It's about using. If you really have faith, then use it. Then get out there. Bear fruit from it. Mark 4. Because we're not in the beginning of the end times, right? We're in the very latter part of the latter rain. We're in the latter part of the latter rain. And Wow, for those who haven't got on board yet, who haven't, you know, boarded the ship, you're really running out of time, you know? But I realize if there was another 100 years left, in 99 years I'm giving the same message, there's people that would still be waiting. There's people that aren't going to do it. And they say they will, but when the time comes where it's really seen, then it's too late. And, you know, the people that do it then, at that point, they, you know, that it'll be like Judas Iscariot, like the message I gave on that. They'll just, that'll be the end of them, you know, because they're just never going to take it. And that's why I said, it rained on one city, it didn't rain on another city. There's some people there that will never, ever get it. They'll never listen. They might get inspired from a message like this for about 2 minutes, you know, maybe a day if they're lucky, or a week. But they'll go right back to what they're doing because they're addicted to commercial Babylon. And they love the things of Babylon more than the things of Yahweh. And they're just never going to come out of it. And I've had some people admit that to me. But this isn't for them. I've moved on from that. This is for the remnant. This is for the people of Yahweh who are doing it. Who are having the latter rain. Who do want to change. Who do want to get every spot and wrinkle out and want to make their garments white. Mark 4 and verse 23. Mark the fourth chapter, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, right? If anyone has ears to hear what I'm saying right now, let him hear. And he said to them, watch what you hear. With what measure that you measure, it will be measured to you, and it is increased to you, those who hear. Watch what you hear, right? And I say this over and over again. Why on earth are people of Yahweh, people with his spirit, people that are baptized, why are you listening to messages from a pastor who doesn't use the name Yahweh? Why are you listening to pastors who don't keep the Sabbath? Why are you listening to pastors who are against the Torah? Oh, well, he's really good in this point. No, he's not really good. He's really good at deceiving you, right? And that's why I said the false prophets are out there. Why are you listening to the news networks that have 99% fake news? It's to the point where we have to be seeking truth and only truth. And the truth will set you free. And once you're free from the truth, never go back to that other stuff. You know, Isaiah 8:20, if they do not speak according to the Torah and the prophets, there's no light in them. So why would you go to people that refuse to give Yahweh the glory in the end time, refuse to use his name, even though they know it, and they still don't use it? Why would you go to these people for anything, right? Why would you go to people who were selling? Why would you go to the marketeers and buy that? Watch what you hear, because what you hear is going to affect your mind. And it's going to affect your soul. For whoever may have, more will be given to him, right? This is the parable of the talents. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It's talking of the rock. You have a little bit of the rock. You have that seed, like we said, when you're baptized, or when Yahweh is pouring out his spirit, it comes as a seed. And how you surrender them, it grows and grows and grows into a gigantic tree, like the mustard seed, right? And it fills all the earth. So he's talking about the spirit of Yahweh here. Like the parable of the talents. If you don't use it, the little bit you have will be taken. And he said, so is the kingdom of Yahweh, as if a man should cast seed on the earth, right? And we know from the parable of the talents in chapter 4 here, if you go back, what is the seed? The seed is the word of Yahweh. Verse 14 there. The sower sows the word. And the seed is the word of Yahweh. Okay. A man should cast seed on the earth and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and lengthen of itself as he does not know. For of itself, verse 28, right? For of itself, the earth bears fruit. First greenery, that's baptism, right? You know, like the expression, oh, he's green, meaning he's not mature. He's new, he's green. That's what it means, because when a plant first comes up, it's green. So baptism is the greenery. Then an ear, right? And that's as we're growing in the spirit. That's what our life is. It's growing from the green into the ear. And then the full grain in the ear, that's the latter rain. That's where we're at. We're not at the beginning of this process. We're not in the middle of the process. We're in the end of the process. We're in the latter rain. We're in the grain that's being fulfilled. And what happens when the grain is fulfilled? And when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle, for it is harvest time, right? The grim reaper, the sickle, right? For the brethren, it's harvest time, meaning fruition of the spirit in our lives, getting rid of these physical bodies and meeting them in the air to be spirit beings with him forever. But for the ones who refuse it, it's the grim reaper. It's the sickle that comes, and it's the blood that's coming on the earth that's going to be bridal high. So you make the decision. And when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle, and the harvest is come. And he said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of Yahweh? Or what will we compare it to? Right? Is it a grain of mustard, which when it was planted in the earth, is the smallest of all the seeds that are upon the earth? Like Haggai said, right? It starts small, but then grows. Who has despised a day of small things? And when it is planted, it grows and becomes greater than all the herbs and produces great branches, so that it is able in its shade to nest the bird. Wow. Wow. So the full grain in the year is the latter grain, the latter rain. Not the latter grain, the latter rain. How you grow in the spirit depends on what you hear, right? How you grow in the spirit depends on what you hear. And there's nine fruits of the spirit, right? Number nine is the number of judgment, but it's only judgment on the people that aren't growing in them. Matthew 16, a couple more scriptures, and we will be finished here. Matthew 16 and verse 15. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, Yeshua, said to them, going into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. That's our vocation. That's our job. That's what we're doing. The one believing and being baptized will be saved. The one not believing will be condemned. So the one who fights you, the one who doesn't want to believe you, just got to shake the dust and move on. And miraculous signs will follow those believing these things. They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They'll take up snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it will in no way hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Then indeed, after speaking to them, the Master Yeshua was taken up into heaven and sat off the right of Yahweh. And they went out and preached in all places. And our Master was helping them and establishing their words by the signs which they were doing. And this is why I say there are going to be so many miracles happening in the end time. And I've seen many of these things already. Even in just the last couple of years, we've seen many of these things happening right within our congregations. I try as much as possible to share with the brethren some of these miracles, but they did happen, they are happening, and they will happen in a greater extent. But I always say miracles do not happen to produce faith. Miracles happen as an outward manifestation of the faith we already have. Because look at the Israelites. They saw all the miracles. Did it help them? No. Out of almost 2 million people, only 2 went to the promised land. So a miracle will last as long as the miracle is there. So if there was a miracle where there was a storm and it destroyed and hailed everybody's crop except yours. There's 100,000 people in your city and everyone's crop is destroyed but yours. Wow, you'd be proclaiming that miracle for the day, but in the next year from there, if another hailstorm came and destroyed everybody's crop, including yours, would you still be thinking of the miracle from the year before? So that's why I say miracles don't produce faith because they only last as long as the miracle is there. Miracles are an outward manifestation of the faith we already have. And since we are growing in faith, since we are maturing in faith, there are more miracles that are happening and more that will happen in the days that have come. And like I said, I've personally seen a lot of these things. They're not worked up, but they are an outward manifestation of the overabundance of Yahweh's work in our life. It's that simple. Last scripture is Jacob 5, 7 and 8. Jacob 5, 7 and 8. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the coming of our Master. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient over them until it may receive the early and the latter rain. So we've got to be patient now, right? The latter rain has started, but we don't know. Like I said, is this going to go on for 7 more years? Is it going to go on for 2 more years? 10 more years? I don't know, but it's a short time. But we have to be patient. This is in Yahweh's hand. It's up to Yahweh, not up to us. Be patient over it until you may receive the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Set your hearts firmly because the coming of our Master has drawn near. The fact that it's already started, right? When you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your salvation is near. It's already happening. It already started. So whether that means 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. We're in that time period. We're in the time of the latter rain. And we just have to let Yahweh work out his plan according to his time. We have to be growing in those fruits. We have to be coming out of commercial Babylon. And we have to be bearing fruit for his kingdom and fulfilling the great commission that he's given us, right? We are in the time of the latter rain. The more you surrender your life to Yahweh, the more his rock will continue to fill you up. We still have a great work to do. Our work has only just begun. And just like the apostles were greatly blessed to be the first disciples in Yeshua's New Testament congregation, they were the early rain, we are blessed to be the last generation to come out of Satan's society and lead the way for those whom Yahweh will call to his kingdom with us. May we fulfill this great commission and be faithful stewards upon his return. Wow, this is exciting. Chag Sameach.